Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few positives. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey, coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's for real.
Well, 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 peace and blessings, everyone. It's your girl, Bree, and you have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. Well, firstly, I'd like to thank everyone who called in last night, as our discussion that we had was about sex me. Of course, we all have different perspectives on it, but it was an engaging conversation. Again, just allow me to thank Alex and Stoney from Virginia. You had Chris from New York. Gail, affectionately known now as the Snapping Turtle from Minnesota. And I hope we're not missing anyone else. But, you know, of course, we had Mark from Houston, Texas, which is my co-host, and I'm going to bring him on the line right now. Peace and blessings, Mark.
Peace and blessings.
Well, you know what today is. Today is Freestyle Thursdays, baby. So we want to have everyone to call into our call-in number, which is 424-220-1862. That number, again, is 424-220-1862. You can also send your questions, concerns, and, of course, constructive criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Freestyle Thursdays. We have a couple of announcements tonight. As you all know, I participated at Women's Day at PS 161 in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, on Monday. It was a really nice event. Demetrius Lawrence, who is the Community Board 9 chairman and PTA president, asked me to come there to speak to the parents and the teachers, faculty, and, of course, the students. I'll also be there next month participating in Career Day. So all the public school 161 alumni, and in addition, if there are any Lefferts Junior High School alumni that would like to participate in Career Day, they should contact me at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com so that we can show our support to the school that we got so much from. So, tonight is Freestyle Thursdays. Mark, what are we freestyling about tonight? What's your freestyle?
Well, my freestyle basically is, you know, how there are a lot of things going on right now when it comes to issues of relational communication. And I just have a very short thing to say. I think that a lot of times in relationships, people are clear about what they want. Sometimes they say what they want. Sometimes they don't. And other times they're not clear, and then they may just say something. And then later on, look back and say, well, that's not really what I meant, or it was just a conversation filler. And I think that what people need to do is, at all times, be honest, be clear, and be forthright if possible. Because that may also mean that an individual may not want to stay around after you tell them what you tell them. But at the same time, at least at the end of the day, no one is wondering what the issues are. So I think that when it comes to male or female, when it comes to male and male and female and on, all kind of relationships, that's one of the biggest things. I know you talk about communication, and I don't think that there's a lack of communication. I think there's lack of quality communication and being communicating on the same frequency. So we always communicate, but everybody's not always receptive to what's out there in the airwaves. So it's similarly to the fact that a radio station is always broadcasting on AM, but once you get out of its range, even though it's still communicating, you're not picking up anything. So the issue is not just communication, because we're doing that, but it's being in range and then being able to tune in. So even if you're in range of a radio station, if you're off, like you're supposed to be on 97.9 and you're on 97.6, then you're not going to be able to pick it up. So I just think that we need to be able to start looking at how to tune in to each other, because there's a lot of communication going on, but there's not a lot of receiving. So that's my freestyle for tonight.
I hear you, brother. And you know what? We talk about this all the time, and I talk about this, I think, every show. I bring up the fact that we are really not tuned into one another, especially those who are in the dating realm or the singlehood, as I affectionately call it. Also, in relationships, we're not tuned into one another as we should be. We should be, and I would expect more from people who have evolved to a certain age and have gone through some things, and hopefully have learned things to better learn how to communicate with one another. A couple of weeks ago, we had Mr. Silver, who called in, who said that although he was married 3 times, he lost 2 of his wives due to illnesses, and what those marriages taught him for the current marriage that he's in is how to better tune into what his wife's needs were, and to listen to her, and to communicate that he was listening to her, and he shows that through his actions. So that is a perfect segue into the experiment, the big announcement that we have for tonight. Mark, would you care to share with our audience the project that we're spearheading? Because this is based on communication, and it was it's based on several. I mean, I've got a dozen listeners that I talk to regularly, that email me, new listeners, people who follow my page, and there's fundamentally a problem with the communication that's causing disdain and discord between men and women who are trying to date one another but are not successful at it. So let's talk about that. Mark?
There's a experiment that we're doing, and it's called a Date with Bree Life Experiment. And why don't you do a little bit of talking as to why we're even trying to do an experiment. Maybe, you know, you can break down why we're even talking about doing this dating thing, and I'll just give a little more detail based upon the conversations we've been having.
Sure. Well, like I said, due to the fact that several of my callers who I speak to on a regular basis and several emails that I've received, it would seem both men and women are complaining about the same things. Women are complaining that men are not stepping up to the plate and being consistent in how they communicate and how they show a consistent interest in them and doing the things that would be required in order to be a participant in the whole exploration of dating so that you can evolve to another level. So, and men, on the flip side, they're complaining that women are not honest about how they feel. They're not clear about what they want, and they send mixed signals. And I'm like, wow. And it's every day, several times throughout the day, I'm having conversations with both men and women who are saying the same thing over and over. I know myself, who have been in the singlehood for more years than I care to share with you, have similar frustrations. And ironically, on both sides, I have a few of the frustrations that women have shared with me that they're currently or they have experienced in the past, and I have some similar frustrations that men express that they have about women I've had about men. So my purpose for wanting to spearhead this experiment is to really find out what the challenges in the communication are and to see if I can infuse some type of understanding or corrective action to say, okay, to point out to a brother, okay, you see what you just said or that what you didn't do in this instance, this is why most women feel X, Y, and Z. Or this is why you have had challenges in the past with women because you didn't do this particular thing or you didn't say that particular thing. And this is what women need to hear or this is what women need to feel from you. And to also learn something because it's not, and trust me, or to all the listeners, this experiment is not to bash. It is to bring enlightenment to the existing problem of the lack of clear communication that currently exists between men and women. I can't be constantly talking about a thing or complaining about a thing if I'm not really digging in and trying to understand what's going on. So I'm using myself as a guinea pig. Mark, you want to share the details of how we're going to actually embark on this experiment?
Sure. Well, basically, what Bree just said is that because of information she's hearing about the challenges of dating, she wants to do an experiment that will involve her as a guinea pig. And what will happen is, we'll be looking for a date for Bree. Now, part of this is because we want everybody to know that Bree is not having a hard time finding dates. And she's not desperate. She's not looking for a husband and all this other stuff, per se. However, what she is responding to the fact that men are telling her that there are not enough quality women out here that can, you know, communicate and are interesting and that are not like on some kind of, you know, trip. So, by her feeling that she's a woman of quality, after hearing the dismay of many men, she said, okay, well, fine. Now, at least we know there's one woman of quality being available or made available. So now, will the men be able to come and do what they need to do to be interesting and forthcoming and
most of all communicative?
And I was getting ready to say that, and able to communicate. So, now, mind you, this is not a scientific experiment. This is no doubt about it that many of the things that we'll find out will probably be anecdotal and. Granted, by us being humans, there will probably be many of those things that probably we can say are common. But, again, it's in fun, although she will be undertaking it with a seriousness, though. But it will be fun just to find out what's going to happen. So this is kind of how it's going to go. What we're going to do is we're putting out a call to all men that are listening to the show to send in an email. We're going to give you an email address, and I'm going to have Bree give you that email address, but there's going to be an email address given. We're going to ask all men to send in their email as to why they want to date Bree. It's going to be a two-week period that we're going to do this dating, and the dating is going to be a requirement is going to be at least four dates in 2 weeks. Now, it's going out to men in the New York metropolitan area. So, therefore, if you're not in the New York metropolitan area, you need not send in anything. Got to be in New York, within the boroughs, cross the bridge in New Jersey, but it's got to be in the area. So you have to be able to show up at least four times to have a date with Bree. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you to send in information about why you want to date her, along with email address and your phone number. Then we're going to have a panel. We're going to have someone contact you, and we're going to have a kind of a discussion about some basic things we're going to go over with you. After which, taking in all this information, we're going to look at the individuals who have submitted a desire voiced the desire to want to meet and date Bree. And then amongst our panel, we're going to make a decision as to who we think, based upon how we know Bree and what we know about the gentleman, if this will be a good fit. Upon which time, we will pass along to Bree the picture and phone number of the gentleman and vice versa to the gentleman from Bree. We will not give Bree any information about the individual except for his vitals, meaning his height, weight, stuff like that, where he lives. That's it. I'm not going to talk about what he does, none of that kind of stuff, because what we want to see is the ability for them to be able to communicate and interact and see how the quality or the level of quality of communication will take place. I was told this about a young lady. She said the reason she doesn't put information on her profile on a date on various dating sites is because she doesn't want a guy to try to adapt to what she thinks, what they think she wants. So some might be saying, well, this doesn't sound like anything different than going on an internet dating site. Well, in a way, yes, but it's another thing too. The other question is this. Is it a possibility that we overlook people that may be good for us or fit for us because of our various built-in biases, and that maybe our friends, family, and onlookers may have an idea of something that maybe we're overlooking? So she's giving us full trust to do due diligence and screening, and then we're going to come back with a candidate. We're going to present it to her, and we're going to see what's going to happen over a two-week period of time. And as we do this, at the end of each week, they're going to check in with us, and they're going to give us a very frank. Now, again, we're depending on people disclosing honestly how they feel. So what would happen after the week would be they would check in with the panel, and they will tell us exactly how they felt about what went down this week. How they felt about them, did they feel comfortable, did they feel it was information being forthright, did they feel that they really liked the person, what did they didn't like, all this. We want them to be honest. Again, we're not going to disclose this information to the other individual. We just want to get this information, because what's going to happen after the 2 weeks, we're going to bring both of them on the air, and we're going to kind of have a question answer back and forth, talk about exactly what happened over that period of time. So, again, we're looking for gentlemen in the New York metropolitan area, New York City metropolitan area, that are able to date for at least four meetings over a two-week period of time with a brief. Again, we're going to ask you for a 100-word basically, I won't call it an essay, but I guess you could call it an essay, that will basically talk about why they want to date Bree.
Then they will be contacted by us. Upon contact, we'll have a conversation, discussion, ask some questions. And then we'll be making a decision as to who we'll pick for the date. And Bree has agreed to date whoever we have picked for her. And we're going to see what's going to happen over a two-week period of time. So, again, it's fun. It's a social experiment that is not scientific. And it's not designed to garner a husband or a wife, but it's designed to see what can happen when two people that perceive themselves to be of quality meet each other, that have some things in common. Where does it go? How does it proceed? That's what we're trying to see in this scenario. Now, we never rule out the greatest possibilities that could happen out of it. Who knows? They may get married. I doubt that, but that's what I'm just saying. They may get married, or she may, after the first date, say, hey, I can't do it. I can't do it. But we're willing to take a chance to see what can happen. It's for fun. It's,
yes,
it's
definitely
serious,
it's
for
fun.
If it's not fun,
we can't do it. We cannot do it.
So, again, we want Bree, do you have that information ready as far as the email address? And what's going to happen is we're going to share this email address a couple times over the show.
Sure.
And then we're also going to post it on our Facebook page as well as on the Blog Talk site. So, do you have that email address, Bree?
Yes, the email address. Right now, I'm going to give you two email addresses, I think, that would enable you to be able to send that information. And you can do so at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. You can also send that information to Ask Bree and Mark. Is it Bree and Mark or Mark and Bree?
I think it's Bree and Mark.
Okay. AskBreeAndMark@gmail.com. So, again, those two email addresses are BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com, and the other one is AskBreeAndMark@gmail.com.
Okay. You there, Bree? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. We had some technical difficulties there. I apologize to the listeners. Again, that email address is BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com and AskBreeAndMark@gmail.com. At this moment, we're going to bring on another one of our callers. I believe it's Quentin from Chicago, my favorite quarterback.
Oh, how are
peace
you?
Peace and blessings, Quentin.
Peace and blessings.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we have my co-host and partner in crime, Mark, from Houston, Texas, by way of Chicago.
Right. I remember. How you doing, Mark?
What's going on, bro? I'm well. Yeah. Yourself?
Good. I'm doing good.
Well, okay. So tell me, Quentin, what is your freestyle tonight?
Well, I wanted to comment on the, I guess, lack of communication?
Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
And then in relation to, okay, now if there's a lack of communication going on, and I know you said that a lot of your listeners, male and female, I guess had their different views on this.
Mm-hmm.
Were they able to share those views between one another?
Between one another? No,
yeah.
Because I was getting it from men and women that didn't know each other.
Okay. They didn't know one another, but they were able to voice, I guess,
their opinions about how they feel that there's a breakdown in the communication based on, like I said, from the women's side, they feel that men are not consistent, they're not stepping up to the plate, and they're not making their aspirations to want to be with them very clear. On the flip side, there are gentlemen that feel that women don't know what they want. What they want changes from moment to moment, and they can't keep up. They don't feel that women are very honest and forthright about what their expectations are, or they feel that their expectations are somewhat out of bounds to where the both of them are at in the moment with the dating and discovery and exploration that's supposed to be taking place. So this is not a balanced thing. This is definitely an imbalanced thing, and you know, to the best of my ability, and I have my own personal experiences as well of how I feel. You know, I'm trying to get down to the essence of what the problem is, and I also want to learn something about myself in the experiment.
Okay, so is the experiment for you, or will you share what you learned from this? Is that, you know, because, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, is that an open, because you have listeners, male and female, is that something for the audience to learn?
No, this is for the audience.
Okay.
But it's also something that I'm hoping to learn from, too. Because as communicative as I believe I am, someone may view me differently.
Right.
And I would like to know how someone's viewing me and if there's something that possibly I can improve on.
Okay. Now, I mean, being,
you know,
that
this is not personally for me. I'm doing this experiment because, you know what, I won't, for lack of a better word, I'll say I'm a little frustrated by what I'm hearing on both sides of the table. Because, believe me, most of the people who I'm talking to, I know to a certain degree. And they're all good people. And they all bring value. They would bring value to any relationship, any potential relationship that they would be in. But because I know them, there's some things about them that I know that they could do some tweaking on, you know. And I've shared those things with them personally. And then there are listeners that have shared emails with me and I've been in contact with, and just, you know, getting a short synopsis of how they came to be single, how they feel about themselves now, I was able to give some suggestions of some things that maybe could use some tweaking. But still, even with all of that, we still have the inability not to be able to communicate well. And, you know, it's about being tuned in. I think Mark started the top of the show being very eloquent and precise in saying exactly what I feel is going on, and that is that we are not tuned into one another. We may be listening. We may hear, but we're not tuned in. We're not exactly in the right frequency to get the message as clear as it could be conveyed. And believe me, sound quality makes a difference. It does. Would you not say so, Mark?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think that your ability to be able to hear clearly, I mean, because it's like if someone calls into the show, and it happens all the time, someone calls into the show, and when they call into the show, they start talking, and then they start asking us what we're talking about. So the amazing part about that is, well, were you listening before you called in? Because if you listen before you called in, you should know what we're talking about. And so this happens in relationships all the time because you have a person that says, wait a minute, I've been talking all this time, and now you're asking me what I'm asking, what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So they say, so what are you talking about? So then either A, I'm not doing a good job telling you, or B, you ain't listening. Because if you were listening, then you can come in and say, well, what I heard you say, or you all are talking about this, so, or you're talking to this about me, ma'am, or young lady, or baby, or whatever. And then you comment based upon what's being said. So, again, like I say, I mean, if you're not listening, you're not keeping up, then, I mean, it is what it is. And so that's basically the example I give all the time. I mean, are you listening? Are you listening to me? And then here's the deal. The deal is you can always tell at the end of the day because it's a result. If I'm not getting a result, then that's telling me that something did not happen properly in the channel of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because my desire is to get the desired response. If I'm not getting a desired response, then I mean that means something is wrong in the process of communication. So pay attention. That's the first thing. Pay attention to your person. Pay attention to who's in front of you. And if you care enough and do your due diligence, then even if you don't agree, at least you know what they're saying. So you can't call your girl or talk to your girl when and say, well, okay, what are you talking about? Or so what are you talking to me about right now? And she just spent 5 minutes talking to you. And then you're like, oh, okay, so you're not happy with me? And you see tears coming out of her eyes. You see her frustrated, and you're like, oh, you're upset.
Oh, my God, please help me. Yes, exactly. Well, you know what? In those cases, and in the past, you know, when I've been frustrated with a person, because I don't like to argue. I do not, because I do it rather well, okay? But I really don't like to argue, especially if I care about the person. Because, you know, when you're at discord with someone, so much gets lost in translation. And when my frustration level gets to a point where I'm like, oh, my God. It's like he looks like he's looking at me, or I could tell if he's on the phone, if he was looking at me, it'd be like a deer in the headlights. So what I choose to do, because I write rather well, at least I've been told I do, so I might choose to write you a letter or send you an email, not text message, because you cannot have a conversation or a debate in text message. But you can convey your thoughts clearly in an email or a letter. And so that my frustration doesn't come across vocally, because sometimes that can stir up frustration and anger in the person who you're talking to, and then nothing gets accomplished. But maybe if you send them a letter or an email and they can read what you're saying, hopefully that will give them enough time to absorb what you're saying. And maybe they might even have to go back to it a couple of times, but I find that sometimes writing a letter is effective, especially when I don't think you're listening to me.
But wait a minute. But wait a minute. But wait a minute. Did you just say, what did you write on there?
Oh, God. No.
Yeah. Well,
no.
I read that right. Yeah. So did you mean, wait a minute. You said you weren't happy. So that means, like, you're not happy, you're a little bit, you're, what do you mean? You know what? This is where I've come to the conclusion. Slow people are slow people. You can write it, you can speak it, you can get something, write it on the sky. I don't care. Slow is slow. And sometimes that means you got to understand, you can write all you want to write it. Then you got other people that ain't trying to hear you anyway. And that'll happen too, because they'll read the letter. They'll say, well, why you had to write me the letter? That's what they'll say. So, again, it's still got to be a desire to want to see something happen.
Okay.
In both of those instances, you know, it's pretty much a wrap. Slow, or you don't want to listen, then there's an answer to that right there. But, you know, speaking of those people who, like, you want to, in the experiment, which is supposed to be what? People that think they could communicate well, right?
Well, hopefully.
Right, this is what you want. Right, hopefully. This is what you want. So, you know.
Or a challenged individual, because my point for doing the experiment is to help some people see possibly why they're not being successful and to also learn something.
Mm-hmm.
But to not talk about me, but to talk about them, when you say what is the purpose for doing the experiment and with the expectations that I'll be with a mind-like, communicative individual, well, if I wind up with such a person, then that, you know, that's a plus. But the purpose for doing this is to also, if I wind up with a communicatively challenged individual, it's all the better because I could help point some things out. Why possibly? Because, you know, I've been talking to two individuals over a 2-week period of time, and I don't really, and these are people who are friends of mine, but I don't think they really hear the sound of my voice. They hear me talking, but I think it's like womp, 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 womp. And it's not like it's because they don't value what I'm saying, but it's just like it seems like there's a disconnect. There's an inability for us to really be able to communicate, and them hear me and take the constructive criticism, and I hear them. So I want to figure what that's about.
I have a question, Quentin. I'm just wondering.
Uh-huh.
You called in, and you've been listening.
Yeah.
So, based upon this contest, would you be willing to do it? I'm not asking you for you, but I'm saying, would you enter a contest like this? Based upon what you heard us talk about.
Would I enter a contest? Yeah, I would. I would.
I ain't putting you on the spot because I don't know you. But
right.
Hey, if you want to write a letter in, we might pick you. I don't even know you. I don't know nothing about you. But if you write a letter in, send it to the Gmail account. I swear, we're looking at all letters equally because you sound like you're a pretty level-headed brother. You sound like you're pretty cool. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't even ask you. Are you single?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you're single? Oh, my goodness.
All right. Hey. Hey, it sounds good to me. And Chicago brothers are good brothers.
Here's the thing. We didn't talk about what the prerequisites for the experiment is. The person has to be single. They cannot be married. They cannot be separated. They have to be single. They cannot be living with the person, or they broke up with the person and they still living with the person because it's economically feasible. No, they have to be single.
Okay.
And preferably not living at home with your mama.
Right.
Preferably. Okay? they should be between the ages of 35 and 50. And there's a whole other list of things that you can find on Bree Life Radio at Facebook and Twitter that will be posted up on the site by tomorrow morning. And that's where we're going from there.
Okay, yeah. That's
right. So, Mark, why are you putting Quentin on the spot?
I don't know. You know what, Bree? You know what, Bree? I got a text message for someone, and they say, Bree got too many rules. And they say, LOL.
What rules did I have other than the fact that they couldn't be married, they couldn't be separated, they couldn't they preferably not living at home with your mama, and between the ages of 35 and 50? That's a lot of rules? Well, you know what? That's my point exactly. You know, and I'm not criticizing this person, but this brings something to light that I've been thinking for quite a long time, and that when the basics become an issue, the world is about to end. Okay, when the basics is becoming a challenge for folks. My goodness, we might as well just pack it up.
Yeah.
We said it.
Yes, right. All day long.
Wow.
So, Quentin, do you have any other questions about this experiment?
No. I do have. I have one question. Will the callers be able to keep up with what's going on? I mean, what you're learning.
Well, like Mark said earlier, there's going to be updates that are going to be given on each show on a weekly basis over a two-week period.
Cool. Or
how the communication between me and this person is going. And the person will have contact information to be able to directly contact the panel of judges, so to speak, who are going to be selecting the candidate.
Okay. Yeah.
And by the way, to just mention who that list of judges are, we have, of course, we have Mark from Houston, Texas. We have Gail, better known as, and more recently known as, the Snapping Turtle in Minnesota. We have both Stoney and Alex in Virginia. That is the panel of judges who are going to be selecting the individual who's going to go on this dating experiment with me.
Okay.
So, what are we going to talk about tonight, Bree? What are we going
to
talk about?
Well, I'd like to hear what Quentin's freestyle is. What's been on your mind, Quentin? What you been up to? What's been on your mind?
What's been on my mind is
what say you? What say you?
I've been thinking about a lot of the violence, you know, and a lot why we can't seem to get good mentors or what they call them, motivational speakers now, to assist in some of it, you know, I guess, enlightening some of these young men and women out here. That's what's been on my mind.
Okay. Luckily for you, Mark is a motivational speaker. So he would probably be the best person to answer that question. Mark, you want to take a stab at that?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of confused because I don't think that there's a shortage of people that are saying things to people. Well, here's the thing, Quentin, and I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. In Chicago right now is quite interesting because if you think about violence in Chicago, especially last year was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, as a whole, for the city, the overall city was safe. You were unsafe if you were between 14 and 25 years old. Meaning,
I'm sorry. Quentin, would you mind sharing with our audience what you do for a living?
Yeah, I'm a police officer.
Okay. When Mark is talking about things, would you be able to give us some a clear perspective if, you know, he's within range of, you know, statistic-wise, since I'm sure you have some idea of the broad numbers, if not the specific numbers of, you know, crime and what type of crime and the ethnicities of the individuals that are being subject or who are perpetrating the crimes?
Well, there was a six-year-old that was shot and killed, and that's six. From now, as far as the violence, yeah, that range of that age range is correct, but it's not just staying within that range because, you know, it's pouring and spilling off into all age ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really put a cap on it when they, you know, they out of control. You know, and that's
what I was saying, Quentin, was, I mean, and just, you know, first of all, I can tell you, the population that I've dealt with for the last 15 years is the population that's been responsible for a lot of crime. And when you look at just across the board statistically, right now, the crimes, and I'm going to speak of three cities that I know a little bit about. You know, and you have more intimate detail about Chicago, but I know a lot about Chicago, being there anecdotally, statistically, and just relationships of people in the city, Houston, because I'm here, and Minneapolis, because I was there for 20 years. And when I think about the young people, they're the ones right now. I mean, you don't have a lot of 45-year-old men running around shooting people. I didn't say, and I'm not saying that 45-year-old people don't shoot people, and I'm not saying 45-year-old people are not victims of crime.
Sure.
But right now, almost all of our major cities, when we start talking about violent crime, we have that group that encompasses the majority of the violence. So, and I think you were kind of hitting on that because you mentioned why don't we have motivational speakers or whatever, mentors with them. I'm sure you wasn't meaning you need a mentor for a 45-year-old. So I think it's safe to say that the majority of the crime and the perception, and even if it's not true, you talk to adults, they think it's the young people. They think it's the young people. And you being a cop on the street, because I think about neighborhoods in Chicago, like especially Roseland, in the hundreds, because I grew up on 79th and Colfax over southeast. And I saw what was happening over on 75th to 79th between Yates, South Shore Drive. And then I look at what's happening all up down Michigan Avenue all the way over to Halstead or even Ashland or whatever, up in those little pockets where you get unbelievable amounts of crime. You don't got a lot of people on the north side in that little area right there. You ain't got a lot of people. You know what I'm, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I'm talking about, the pocket. And it's a scary part because we get back into it, especially if we get into the whole issue of of, you know, black on black crime. Now, all I will tell everybody is, and I always caution people about this whole thing about black on black crime, is because this, the majority of crime that takes place in any demographic is usually amongst that demographic. So therefore, the majority of white people get killed by white people, the majority of black people get killed by black people, and so forth and so on. Because usually the statistics show that we usually turn on ourselves, similar to domestic crimes. So I guess the question would be, for me, I know there are people out there talking to these young folks. I know that. I know people in Chicago that are motivational speakers. Some people I went to high school with. And they are trying to talk to these kids. I don't know how much impact they can have sometimes when I can only motivationally speak to you for a short period of time. Who's with you the majority of the time? And, again, I'm not trying to put my finger on parents like, you know, a lot of us said it, because it's kind of like the old song, Sly and the Family Stone, when they say one child grew up to be one that loved to burn and the other one loved to learn. So some of these parents are trying to do their best. But I know a young man right now in Chicago. He's got a $2 million bond right now. He's incarcerated, not incarcerated, he's being held right now for murder, a murder that took place last summer. And he dates my niece. And it's crazy because the family didn't know or have any inkling that he was involved in this kind of behavior. And then it comes out. We find out by a friend of us, because we found out through somebody that worked in the Chicago Police Department. They told us this boy got a rap sheet that's unbelievable. We didn't know nothing about it. The family didn't know.
Wow.
He's 19 years old. 19 years
yeah.
old.
Well, yeah, that's easy to, you know, like you said, that's in that age bracket. But there's still, as you stated, there's still an ingredient that's missing. Even though we may have mentors, that's what I'm trying to find out and target, that ingredient is missing of why we're not getting to these kids. You know, and I think it has a lot to do with your, I guess, so-called political figures. You know, they're able to. You always have your political figures, Father Flair. What is his name? Flair.
Flair.
Saint Survivor. Yeah.
Father.
Yeah. You know, you have
Father
a lot of
Flair.
Those, yeah.
I know all them characters.
Yeah, right. And it's a shame that
Jeremiah Wright, all of them, Jeremiah Wright, Flager. We can go on and on, man.
But it just seems like it's, the politics is more important than actually getting the message across. And that's
let me ask you a question, Quentin. What about the family? I mean, and somebody's going to say that somebody somewhere sitting there listening to us talk. And I can promise you, someone's going to want to know, and you've been out there on the streets. What do you see when it comes to the family and how the family plays a part in some of the level of delinquency that you're seeing amongst the kids?
The problem is it's a lot of broken families, and it's a lot of families where if the mother and father are not on drugs or alcohol, one or the other is, if they, you know, and like I said, they – how many, what's the statistics on, you know, just single parents trying to raise, even if they are trying to do a good job and do the right thing, it's very difficult as a single parent. So I think that's the reason the family is so difficult for the family. You know, so it's for the motivational speakers and, you know, like I said, these political figures who can make an impact. You know, I think that's who we should target, because
I think we should, if I may interject, I think we should all, you know who we, I think we should target. If I was looking at this as a pyramid, of course, at the base of the pyramid, it would be the families. But then the second level of that pyramid, it would be the teachers, because teachers spend a third of a child's day with them. So, I mean, the ones that are in school, okay? So the teachers should be targeted, and they should be given the tools in order to be able to perform their jobs and to effectively impact the lives of children. Right now, as a matter of fact, I wanted to mention that Bree Life Radio is going to be entering into a fundraising campaign for equipment for the studio. And what I decided after participating in the Women's Day event at my elementary school, I'm going to be donating 10% of the proceeds to whatever we raise for Bree Life Radio to PS161. Because Demetrius Lawrence, he had stated that that they're doing fundraisers and drives just to get supplies for the kids. And, you know, I don't ever remember supplies being an issue when I was in school.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show that where are we in the world where we have buildings, school buildings that are, you know, they are old, textbooks are falling apart, the teachers don't have construction paper and pencils and just basic and chalk in order to be able to perform their job. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't mean to be... Go ahead.
No, so what I'm saying, I mean, I just want to infuse my opinion on what I've been hearing so far. I really believe that school administrators and teachers should be highlighted in who should be considered, you know, a person that has an effect on your child. Because, like, again, I said, they spend a third of the day with your children, those who are in school. And another thing, like I talked about at the top of the show, we're going to be, there's going to be a career day at PS161, which I've been asked to participate in. And I'm going to be lobbying to all my 161 and Lefferts Junior High School alumnus that are professionals that work in corporate America or work for the city or are entrepreneurs. I'm going to encourage them to come and to speak at the school and talk to the students, because this is the only way that students get a chance to see that their hard efforts and their, you know, and their focus in doing their schoolwork, that their parents hopefully are at home encouraging them to do, and the school administrators and the teachers are encouraging them to do, they can grow up one day to look like one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important.
Yeah, that's very important, because that's the future. Oh, yeah, that's extremely important. But I just think that you were right, but as far as the numbers and the time that these individuals spend with the children. But, you know, when you talk about the level of violence in the age bracket that we were talking about, these are kids that are on the street already. And already involved in gangs and drugs and violence. Now the ones that's in the schools, they're able to, once they get out of class and they leave.
Yeah.
That's when they run into the problem.
Well,
so,
hold that thought for a moment, I think I'm hoping that this is Demetrius Lawrence who is the Community Board 9 chairman and PTA president at 161. Hopefully this is him coming on the line. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio show. We're freestyling. It's Freestyle Thursdays. I'm your girl, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Good evening, Bree. How are you? This is Despot.
Good evening. Well,
the
listeners out there, this is Esquire, and he happened to be one of the people who came to the school on Monday to support me, which I was very happy for him to be sitting right beside me. And then while I was introduced to get up to say the speech, he cheered me on and you know, just gave me support. So thank you. I want to thank you publicly on the air for being there on Monday.
It was really my pleasure.
And the love. And I know that you've been listening for a few minutes. So what we're talking about right now, we're on the phone with my co-host Mark in Houston, Texas. You know Mark. And
yes, how you doing, Mark?
Mark?
Hello?
Okay, and we also have Quentin in Chicago, and Quentin is a Chicago police officer, and his question, just to bring you in the fold, of if you haven't been listening from the very beginning of the show, we were talking about his freestyle was that he wanted to know why that there are not enough mentors stepping up to the plate, talking to the youth, to encourage them to take another path, or to let them know that there are other opportunities out there for them to pursue, and just, you know, someone has to step up to the plate and show them. So, if you know anything that you want to jump in and infuse into the dialogue, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you for a very eloquent speech, well-prepared speech, and I just wish the people in the community or the school would have promoted that PTA meeting more and had more family members and their kids come out to hear you speak, especially being an alumni of the school. As far as the officer's question, I guess the leadership comes out of a passion to lead. You know, it's up to the people that's out there doing it, people that maybe had some life experience that they wanted to sit back and maybe not see a similar situation in their community that touched them happen again. So, I don't know what's going to spark the fire. We've had a million-man march. We had a follow-up to that 10 years later, and where are we today? We're still talking about who's going to take the lead, you know. Who's going to lead after Al Sharpton, gets tired? Because it's a tiring role, you know. It's a very tiring role, and one of the biggest things for us leaders or leaders that are stepping up to the plate is really try to create new leaders. So when we get, to the point where it gets a bit much, we got other people to come in to rejuvenate the movement.
And to speak of Al Sharpton, I understand his mother passed away today, so we at Bree Life Radio would like to extend. He was on his way to the march for Trayvon Martin, and what happened with this, I believe, 17-year-old young African-American boy that got killed during spring break visiting family by a white, night watchman. Al Sharpton was on his way to lead a march in Florida, and during his travels he got word that his mother passed away. So again, we at Bree Life Radio would like to take the time to extend our condolences to the Sharpton family. And peace and blessings, and may his mother rest in peace.
Yes, yes. But that was my question. I submitted to, you know, to some friends yesterday. Who helps the caregiver? Who reaches out and ministers to the minister? Who counsels the counselor when they, you know, are in a situation, when their back is up against the wall? So I'm sure, you know, I'll probably need some ministering unto right now, and somebody to, you know, for his shoulder to lean on. He probably needs somebody for his shoulder to lean on right now also. But, you know, my shoulder's here for you, Brother Al, if we ever get a chance to meet again, you know. It's just, you know, to say that we all have to pass in life. You know, death is a part of life. But as far as mentorship, you know, we all have to play a role in some capacity to volunteer. I see you tried to step in and volunteer at the school, but the bylaws wouldn't permit it. So they're probably going to have to have a bylaw meeting to change the perspective.
I actually heard that there is something that's going to go on as a result of my interest in becoming more active with the school, because you saw that I got choked up when I was speaking about Mrs. Williams. I mean, I'm going to tell you very honestly, if it wasn't for Ms. Williams, I might have gotten left back, not because I was incapable of doing the work, because I was in a SP class. So it was clear that I was in an IGC class, so it was clear that I could do the work. But having personal challenges, you know, there's a moment in fifth grade when I just completely shut down. And if she didn't take me under her wing and pull me in and say, you know what, Sabrina, you could do this.
Right,
you
right.
Just have to stay focused and trust that whatever is going on, it's all going to work itself out. But you have a task at hand. It is your responsibility to get your education so that you can ensure that your children won't go through what you're going through right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And if I didn't hear those encouraging words from her, my fifth grade experience could have been completely different.
Hmm.
But it did. But that's what I was just talking about with Quentin, saying that he said, well, who in the community really should be highlighted to take on the role of mentoring? And I said, if I was to look at this as a pyramid, of course, foundationally, it would be family. But right on top of the next layer of that pyramid is teachers and school administrators, because they spend a third of the day with our children.
Okay.
So they should be the ones that are given the tools in order to perform their jobs effectively, because they have our children's hands, life and future in their hands. There should be no reason why Demetrius Lawrence, again, who is the community board leader, he's a community board chairman of Board 9 in Crown Heights and the PTA president, he should not have to be having a fundraiser drive for the school to get construction paper and pencils and all types of stuff for the kids. That's when you and I were in school, we didn't have those issues.
Right.
Why do we have to have these fundraising efforts for the school to get the teachers tools to teach our kids? That's crazy.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something real quick? Okay.
Yeah.
To me, this has been going. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I
and that's Mark Quentin. I mean, Esquire.
I was saying, I don't know. I kept saying hello, and nobody heard me, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we didn't hear you.
Yeah, I kept saying that. But anyway, here's the thing about the supplies and books.
I went to school in Chicago, and at the time when I went to school in Chicago, we were the second largest city in the United States. We're no longer that, but we used to be. And I remember the problem was the same. Supplies in black schools, for instance, have always been a problem. Good books in black schools have always been a problem. This has always been a problem. Maybe not in New York. And maybe
yeah,
sometimes some
here.
Kids... Huh? You're right. Same in New York. I thought so. So it's no different. Black schools have always been in this predicament. This ain't nothing new.
I'm not implying that it's something new.
No.
I'm just saying that I don't recall when we were in school that our PTA presidents and stuff had to lobby to get donations for school supplies. Yeah, they might have been, you know, it might have been tight, but never to the point where they had to get fundraisers for the supplies.
Again, what happens also, Sabrina, is that we were on the other end of the spectrum. So we didn't know what was happening behind the scenes
exactly.
And how those teachers were making it. Now, as adults, you're on the forefront, and you say, "Wow, you know, there's a struggle. What can I do to make a difference?" You know,
Bill is trying to do. We're trying to organize a fundraiser to help Brother Lawrence in his efforts to get these supplies for the teachers, because you know, this is really unacceptable to me.
What I was saying was that we have, as Esquire said, and the reason I'm aware of it because I had relationships with some of the teachers when I was in high school, and my teacher, Miss Island, my eighth grade teacher, and Miss White, my history teacher, and they used to always complain about the fact that we didn't have. Now you're right, we didn't really know, you know, because a lot of our teachers, they came out of their pockets to do what they needed to do. They came out of their pockets. I remember my ex-wife, who's an elementary school teacher, I remember us buying stuff for the school that she worked at. I remember this. And my point is, this is not new, especially to black schools. And and it's crazy, but I don't know that it'll change because, I mean, we can continue to donate and do whatever we can, and we do need to. But we have to look at the whole concept of what happens in our urban areas at our lower income and poorer schools, for instance, not to mention, you know, just the middle, because the middle class has even changed now. So places where you didn't see it as much. And let's say, for instance, Crown Heights was maybe more of a middle class type of neighborhood. They might have had a little more insulation against it, but because of the various migratory patterns in a lot of our big cities, we're finding that the composition of our neighborhoods aren't the same as they used to be anyway. So then certain types of things take place as far as a lack of initiative when it comes to the city leaders and people care about certain areas. This is nothing new. We see it. It's unfortunate, but it's not new. You know, it's just not new. I mean, it goes back so far. It goes back to Brown and the Board of Education when they wouldn't even let us in certain schools. When they did let us into the schools, I mean, this goes on and on for black people, so to speak. And again, I'm not trying to feel sorry for anybody, but this is just par for the course.
Yeah, well, you know what it takes? It's like, they, you know, everybody's using the phrase, it takes a village. I don't think the responsibility should be totally on the teachers or the position, the deacons in the church, or people that surround the kids all day. When we have carpenters, plumbers, tradesmen that can, you know, do certain things too, also to take on the leadership and mentorship role in our community. Not just, I mean, we're talking about funding in the schools, and we're also branching we went from mentorship into, you know, the fundraiser you're trying to do. But we got to look at, you know, all around leadership. I mean, you got some young people out there that want to work and can't get a job. You know, so they end up hanging on the street and getting hooked into the wrong crowd. You know, so everybody can play a part as a mentor to maybe, you know, teach a kid a trade, maybe let them know how to pull their pants up and interview properly. You know, what are the tools you're going to need for some of the success to get, you know, in a position where you're at as a teacher, where Bree is at as a talk show host, and where, you know, I'm at as a union leader. So everybody plays a part to make up a whole to make that one well-rounded kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my kid was working and going to school, and he, we applied for the church scholarship. And he got the church scholarship based on him being a well-rounded, volunteering in the assemblyman's office, volunteering at service, the first black ambulance service in New York City. And so that's another person you should really reach out to if you get a chance to go see Rocky over at Best Buy Ambulance Service. This guy is a retired captain on the New York City Fire Department. And when he first started out, you know, serving in the community of Bedford-Stuyvesant, Rocky tells a story of running down the street with an oxygen tank and a first aid kit on his back. He didn't have an ambulance.
Well, guess what? I got my CPR from him, so I go every year.
Okay.
Already knowing.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. So we got the average person in the community that can be a mentor. That can be a leader.
Well, hold on
a
moment, because I'm hoping that this person that I'm bringing on the line is actually Demetrius. Hold on a moment. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your girl, Bree, and we're freestyling tonight. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Bree.
Hello?
Can you hear me? This is Bree.
Yeah, this is Daryl.
Hello, how are you? Peace and blessings.
How you doing? I'm just listening.
Okay, you're just listening, so I'm going to put you back in the
queue. That's my son, actually, Bree.
Oh, hi, Daryl. How are you?
Oh, how you doing?
Good. I gotta meet you one day, and I thank you for calling into the show. Do you have
no
a freestyle?
Problem. A freestyle? Like a rap?
Yeah,
no,
well, this is Freestyle Thursdays. You can call and speak your mind. If there's something weighing heavy on your heart or your mind, let it out. This is the forum where we do it.
No, it sounds like I'm having a good conversation. I don't want to depress anybody. I'm just listening.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Well, I'll put you in the hold queue, and thank you for calling in.
All right.
We're going to take another caller because this is one of our special guest callers. This is Alex and Stoney from Virginia. Peace and blessings. What's up? Is my sister in the background?
What was that?
Where's my sister?
Yeah, she's lurking around here in the background.
Okay. I don't want her to lurk. I want her to be close by.
Oh, yeah. She
have you been listening to the show?
Yeah, I was on another call. I just tuned in. I heard your brother talking about education and things like that. So I caught the tail end of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so and I wanted to add something to the educational aspect. I'm not sure how in-depth the gentleman got. But what I want to say about education is that today education is not valued by the country in general, the school system, if you will. And I'll basically say it like this. Listen, we pay our teachers garbage to teach the leaders of the world, the next generation of leaders, and we pay them garbage. And
that's
we sit
right
up here and we open more prisons than schools. We're opening prisons and closing schools. So what does that tell you the mindset of our government and our country is? That alone should tell you something, okay?
Mm.
And that tells you what the real deal is, that prison is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year business. Have you ever thought about toilet paper contracts that go to prison, the paid telephone contracts, the food contracts for prisons? It's $75,000 a year to house a prisoner. That's a lot of money.
Yes,
okay?
In the state of Virginia, yes.
So people have stock in prison. So they have a vested interest in making sure people are less educated so they can get locked up, particularly people of color.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is some serious stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't understand unless we really investigate and do some due diligence. But all you got to really do is open your eyes and look and listen, observe, and you'll see what's going on right in front of your eyes. Because they think you're so dumb, you don't see it.
No,
you know?
I don't think they think you're so dumb. They keep building these prisons. They keep building these prisons. There's a lot of studies that's going on. Matter of fact, my other son in Virginia State University did a study on the same subject that they're building more prisons than universities in this country. And,
right.
And the multi million dollar business that they're actually farming it out from the state and privatizing the prison industry. And who's behind the wall? Who are the best customers? We are.
That's
it's
right.
The prison industrial complex. That's what's going on. The privatization has been going on for the last 15 years, and it just keeps on and on and on. And you see, they just were talking about it down here.
They got a term, modernized slavery.
It is. You're right. When you talk about the contracts, my goodness.
Right.
All kind of contracts. Think about
right.
it, because you need every type of supply that you need on the outside for the most part, and you're on the inside, and somebody's paying for it.
Right. That's right.
You're so right.
Huge contract.
You're so right. You know?
So
nice.
So
we're still back to each one reach one, though, y'all. At the end of the day, with all the conspiracies and all the other things that are probably true, Quinn asked the question, and Esquire, said something about it, and even if there is one, the question is, what do we do with what we can do on our level? Because, I can't stop, I can't stop the overall, huge complexes out here per se, but I can chip away
right.
at it by virtue of who I touch, so it's each one reach one. I think
right.
that sometimes we get overwhelmed by all of what's happening, and sometimes that kind of weighs us down so much that we don't find ourselves being proactive at all in the little corner of the world where we live. So
that's
I think
right.
that's
yeah.
the biggest thing.
If we look
right.
at it from a micro and granular perspective, just like Mark said, if each one reaches one, it would make a difference. It would make
yes.
a difference.
Yeah, small changes lead to big changes. People think that if they're just doing something small, it doesn't matter. But them small changes lead to big changes, and it has to start somewhere.
Well, that was the whole mission after, if any of your brothers made the first Million Man March, was for people to go back and organize in their communities, to set up groups, to set up, organizations that was sort of a mentorship, a leadership organization in your community,
right?
And stuff and out of it came a few. I started something called the Beacon Society that dealt with the Black Education Association of Con Ed Workers, and we talked about how do we take someone who comes in from an entry level position and as a CFR or a customer field rep meter reader and help them move up into senior positions in the company. And basically, it was just teaching the next one behind you your trade, what you learned, to be that draftsman or to be that inspector. What tools did you have? Because everybody's going through a training course to get into the positions that they got, but who's sharing the knowledge? Who's helping out and to help these younger people grow and get into this organization? Now, what happens is, a lot of people get caught up in the overtime that's being dispersed by the company, and no one's taking advantage of the free tuition reimbursement program and going to college. I won't say no one. There are a few chosen ones that do step up. I did. I did my bachelor and master's through the company, 100% tuition. And what happens is a lot of the young men and women in there, they get caught up in working the overtime. They ain't got time for school. I'm going to get this overtime. And down the road, that leads to better positions, but some of them choose to be there putting in all the hours, and they stay right in the same position they're in for a long time. I got an organization where I have people that's retiring after 40 and 50 years on the job. That's two pensions.
Yeah.
And some of them in the same title, some of them in the same exact title, haven't moved from the position they've been in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But like I said, after the Million Man March, that was the call to go out and, you know, set up organizations in your community.
Yeah, and let me say this as well. I live in Virginia Beach, and right next door, the neighboring town is Norfolk, Virginia. And in Norfolk, Virginia, there's a theater called the Addicts Theater, and that's where young adults, can go and own their skills on stage, film, singing. I'm there on Saturdays. I volunteer, and there's a group of kids, and I teach with Monty Ross. And Monty Ross is a producer. He produced Spike Lee's first 8 films. All the films you know, Malcolm X, Do the Right Thing. Okay, so he produced all of those, and I work with him with these children because we want them to learn the business early, not just making movies, but the business of it, because it's called show business for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It should be called business show, you know, and that's why I started my own company out here along with my wife and 3 other gentlemen called Link Core Productions, because we need to own our own, start our own, have some entrepreneurial spirit, and pass that on down to these children. You know, don't get them so wrapped up in, you know, get your education and get a job, because those days are gone. We're in the information age now. The industrial age is dead. You know, we have to teach them how to have the drive and the grit to start their own thing and be leaders and not just wake up one day and looking around for jobs. That's fine to hold you over. But ultimately,
and also, if I may say,
yes.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but if I may say, also not going into the military. That's no place for a black man. I'm sorry. That's my feeling. Bree said it. You can send your emails to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com if you don't like what I said, but that is where my heart is. Other than getting the that DD-214 so that you could get a loan to buy a house on a VA entitlement.
VA bill.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the only benefit to really going into the service.
Yeah.
Well, you got tuition reimbursement there also, Bree.
Yeah, but you know what? But what do you have to do to get it? You got to go to Afghanistan, Iraq?
Yeah.
That's right now. Many
of us dying.
Yes.
Many of us dying there to fight brown people that almost look like us.
Well, you know, Reed, this is why Muhammad Ali didn't go back in the late 60s, early. This is why he didn't go. Because he didn't want to go over there and fight another brown people who never called him a racial slur or did anything to him. So to some degree, I agree with you with that. At the same token, my wife's family has all been military, and they've lived great lives since they've retired out of the military and things of that nature. It has its benefits. But
it does have its benefits,
and I understand
the need for the military. But as a first preference to push that on our children, I don't subscribe to it. And I don't want my son to go into the military and fight any war.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Now, of course, the decision is going to be his. And what am I going to do about that? You know,
right.
But
well,
I'm not happy with the idea.
You know, that's because we know why they're really over there, and they're not over there fighting for our freedom. They're over there fighting for America's greed to get some oil and resources from people that don't want to give it to us. So that's what that's all about. So you're going to send your child over there to fight and die for somebody else's greed. So we know the real reason why they're over there. And which is very upsetting to most of us, because we were duped into believing some other crap about who knocked the World Trade down and why we went over there and all this other kind of crap that's not true, okay? So much of what we learned in school, to get back to school, about American history is a crock of lies, all of it. And once you get out of school and start to do your own research, you start finding all this stuff that's not true that your teachers taught you. And you're like, what is this garbage? And all of that stuff you learned in school, all that stuff that you learned in school is just to continue to perpetuate white supremacy. It's all a bunch of lies for the most part. Lincoln didn't free the slaves because he loved black people. That's not why he freed the slaves. Okay? So, but they'll tell you that in school. Okay? George Washington was not the first president.
Thank God, you know, personally for me, thank God for my parents and my brother who, you know, always made our history the most important thing for me to learn. When I was, the first books I was reading about, because I'm Egyptian, I was reading about ancient civilizations. I was reading about ancient Egyptian history, and I was able to look at books and look at women that looked just like me and be able to identify.
I always wanted to ask you about that.
And that's important. That's important to teach our children who they are. You have to teach your children who they are. Because all day long, once they become completely integrated in society, especially if they go to college and their ambition is to go to work in corporate America, you know, in order to be accepted, you gotta kind of look like them.
You gotta act
like them in order to get that paycheck at the end of the week. You know, I had. And to take this conversation on in a similar but not same direction, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I went to work in corporate America rather early in my adult life, and I remember three things which I'm going to try to go through real quickly that I experienced that was traumatic to me. The first thing I never forget, I was 19 years old working at Dean Witter Reynolds in Five World Trade. And there was this Italian guy. I used to work in the P&S department. And there was an Italian guy that sat at the desk facing mine. And the day that they bought my plaque, my desk plaque that had my last name on it, he said, "Hassan, what kind of name is Hassan?" I beg your pardon? He said, "What kind of name is Hassan?" I said, "I don't know what you mean by that, but if you're asking me the origin of my name, I am Egyptian." He looked at me and he said, "That's impossible because Egyptians are not black." He said this to me in Dean Witter Reynolds. And do you know, from that day to the day that I left, me and him had a disagreement every day about something. Because he despised me for me being me. Then my next traumatic experience was working for a rather famous communication cable company, and I was a senior project manager. I was a consultant, and I was earning $200 an hour managing FTEs, full-time employees, who were averaging $60,000 to $70,000 a year, all men. And one day, on a video conference, the network engineer who had to report to me called me a bitch. Excuse me.
Ooh.
On radio. I'm sorry. He called me a bitch on video conference because I held him accountable for being late about a task that was very vital to this $30 million project that I was in charge of.
Wow.
What's a bad experience?
Yeah, that's definitely unnecessary, and they weren't prepared for a woman in a leadership role. And so I don't know if you congratulated yourself, but again, we are in Women's History Month, so you're making history with this radio show, Bree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the love I appreciate the love and support that I'm getting from the listeners, and I definitely appreciate the love and support that my callers provide me with. You know, there's a reason why I'm doing this show, and the reason is because, one, I felt that I had a voice. I found my voice. I have a lot to say. I'm an educated woman. I'm a smart woman. I've been through a lot. I've been through more than most. But somehow, some way, because of the God in me, I was able to push through all my adversities and still be able to do something productive in my life. That's what this show is about. Because I want to share information to all different types of people, not just people of color. Anyone that's willing to listen to what I have to say and what the callers have to say, because the Bree Life Radio Show is definitely not about bashing any group of people, any sex of people, any regardless of your sex, your religion, your sexual preferences, whatever. You have a voice. If you're listening, I love the fact that you're listening, but I even love the fact if you call in and share your experiences. So thank you. Thank you, Brother Esquire, for saying that. The third experience.
Yeah, well, you know, we're sharing our experience, strength, and hope. We're trying to hope for something better for the future. And
exactly.
Each of those situations that you went through, it prepared you to be who you are today. God has a plan. So you went through those situations so that, you know what, maybe you don't have to sit across from someone who don't understand your culture or someone who doesn't want to be led by someone of a different race, sex, or creed. So each situation prepared you for the future.
Well, you know what? Ironically enough, my third and final experience that I'll share with you, and here's another reason why I'm going to – I don't know if you've been – how long you've been listening. We're going to revisit the big announcement of today, the project that we're about to spearhead and kick off. But the third experience is another Italian gentleman – who was the owner of a company that I was working for, just felt like he could talk to me any old kind of crazy way. And I'm like, what is it with them and us? I mean, did he feel because I was a woman, because I was a woman of color, that he could just talk to me any old crazy way? And I had to, and when I set him straight, I made sure, because this guy owned this company, and his brother was a partner in the company, and his sister-in-law also worked in the company. So, and she was responsible for bringing me into the fold. So I made sure I did a conference call, because see, I don't like to repeat myself. And I want to make sure when my words are translated that it's as factual. So I put them all on conference call in front of the owner of the company, and I made it very clear to him that was going to be the last time that he was going to talk to me this crazy kind of way. Because his brother called me on the sideline and said, oh, you know, my brother, he's dyslexic. And, you know, I said, dyslexia? And personality complexes are two different things, okay? A learning disability and an ability not to be able to communicate and deal with people, two different things, okay? And you're not going to tell me, just because this is your brother and you've had to deal with him your entire life and you know that he's like this, that it's acceptable. He chose to own a company that he has to have employees. And he's in danger with me because I will take him to the EEOC and a whole bunch of other things that he won't be ready for. And this is what I say to anyone, man or woman, we walk this earth and we have to coexist with one another. The one thing that belongs to us is respect. And as long as you respected me, we can have dialogue, we can disagree. When you disrespect me, it's going to be another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to deal with you accordingly. I'm a professional.
Well,
and I want to be treated as such. And when I can't, I take control of what I'm in control of, and I make a different decision. I move around in that instance, too.
Can I say something to that, Bree?
Sure.
Well, first of all, you asked, was the fact that you a woman, was the fact that you black, that he did this to you, talking in your kind of way? And the answer is clearly yes. You know, that's just blatant. It happens all the time. And I'm going to tell you one of my experiences, which happened to me several times in corporate, which gave me the oomph that I needed to say, you know what? I'm not going to progress here. Yeah, I got to stay here for now, take care of my family, but my ulterior motive is to get out of here and build my own thing. And that's because I saw so many people coming into corporate, okay, being trained by black people to become the black person's boss. I seen it too many times with my own eyes, and it started to nauseate me, okay? Your value is not within a company that's owned. I mean, I'm not a racist. I'm a realist. Let's just be honest about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People always – we don't want to talk about color. I got people that don't want to talk about color because they figure if they don't talk about it, the issues don't exist. Why don't they exist? Oh, well, you blacks are rich today. You're sleeping with white women. You got big houses and cars. You got your own TV.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
What are you complaining about? Right. That's the consensus. But if you look behind all the scenes, okay, who owns the television station? Who owns the basketball team? Who owns the oil wells? Okay, you throw us a few bones. And then you say, y'all okay. We can't talk about race because y'all okay.
Oh, and of course, let's not forget our biggest bone, Barack Obama.
Right.
You know? And he's the biggest, and he is the leader of the free world being disrespected by the press.
Right. All the time.
All the time.
They've called him all kind of monkeys, and this is the president. And I've seen pictures of monkeys and stuff pertaining to him. Just the president now. What other president in history had to deal with that?
None.
You know, so we've come a long way, but a lot of it is still masked by racism. You know, I think about a guy like Rush Limbaugh, right? This recent incident with Rush Limbaugh, the young lady from Georgetown, who was defending a woman's right to choose and protection, sexual protection and stuff like that. He called her a whore and a prostitute. Okay? Now he's in trouble. His sponsors have pulled out and so forth and so on. Look, he's been spouting rhetoric about blacks, Latinos, Asians for years. This is what he does. He's never been in trouble. His sponsors have never pulled out, but he called one white woman a whore, now he in trouble.
Yes. But go on, Dawn.
No, but they'll tell you there's no racism left in America. That is blatant in your face. This white woman is on a pedestal. You can call everybody else a name, but you call that white woman a whore, that's your behind.
Well, that just goes to show you where we are and how far we have not come.
Mm-hmm.
We have not gone as far as people would like to believe that we've gone. We still have much work to do. But to bring this back to, and especially since you're on the line, it's real important that we we revisit this, our experiment, because you weren't on earlier when Mark was given the outline of the experiment. And I don't know if our brother Esquire, are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm actually about to drop off the air. I'm on my cell phone out on the street, so I just wanted to catch
okay,
the
well,
show and thank
before you drop
for
off the air.
Yes.
Well, before you drop off the air, we want to tell all the listeners, we want you to hear what the Bree Life experiment is going to be over the next 2 weeks.
And I'll put Tony on for this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Mark, you want to take it from here?
Sure. Hey, everyone. Hey, Stoney.
Hi.
Hi, Stoney.
How are you? Hey.
Hi. I'm fine.
Can I tell you something, Stoney?
Sure.
I really enjoyed you yesterday a lot. I really enjoyed you. I did.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed you a lot. I thought you were really good. I was listening to the show again yesterday, today, and I was like, wow, Stoney is really good.
Oh, well, thank
really
you.
Good.
I appreciate that.
Yep. But for everyone online, this is the deal. We're doing an experiment. It's called the Date Bree Life Experiment. A Date with Bree Life Experiment. And the experiment goes something like this. What we're going to do is we're asking gentlemen between the ages of 35 and 50 to give us in 100 words or less or so why they want to date or want to date with Bree. And what we're going to do is we're going to take those statements that we get with their phone numbers and information about them. We're going to look over them. We're going to contact them and have conversations with them. Out of those gentlemen that send that information out of all the brave souls who choose to enter in to this, to breathe life dating experiment and experience, we will go through those and we'll find one gentleman. Yes, one gentleman who will have the opportunity to interact with our host, Bree, for a 2-week period of time and a minimum of 4 dates over a 2-week period of time, after which we will come back on the air and we'll discuss the nuances of the date Bree experience. So what we're going to need you all to do is,
I want to know, is the winner, are we going to do this date with a trip to Paris?
Well, if you pay it for it.
Is this date going to involve a trip to Paris? Because I'm still waiting for a simple Dunkin' Donuts date on Eastern Parkway and Ocean. So, my God.
Hey, Esquire, that's supplemental. So, let me finish. So, what we do... We might be able to arrange that on another plane. But in any case, when it comes to this contest, or not contest, I won't call it a contest, but this endeavor, here you go, this endeavor and experiment. First of all, it's a social experiment, number one. Number two, it is not scientific. The information will be anecdotal, obviously, that we'll get from it. And this is based upon the fact that we've been getting information from gentlemen and women alike about this whole dilemma of the dating and why they seem not to be able to get a date. Bree is a quality woman, a woman of high character, of great looks, and what we're going to do is we're saying that this is a quality woman, high character, good looks that's available. And men say they can't find one of them. Conversely, women of great looks, high character, and moral foundation seem not to be able to find a good man. So, in our experience, we're going to see if it's a possibility that we can make the hookup. Now, here's the funny thing about it. Who knows what's going to happen? We gave it a 2-week period of time. And who knows? If we might find a husband for Bree, or we might find a good conversation for Bree. But this is not really about finding a husband. But you know what? We never – look, the ultimate goal is a beautiful thing. If we find two people, bam, then we might even take this on the road. We might go across the country hooking people up after this. I don't know. We ain't tripping. But
for the sake of this show,
I'm gonna kill him.
For the sake of this show, folks, for the sake of this show, we need gentlemen between the ages, again, 35 to 50, to send their information in. And Bree, give us the email address.
The email addresses are BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Also, ask Bree and Mark at gmail.com. So, again, BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. And you can send your responses also to ask Bree and Mark @gmail.com.
See? So, people, we need you to send these letters, these emails in so we can evaluate them. We're going to have a team of dating experts. Some of the best dating experts around the country are going to sit there and we're going to sift through this information. And we're going to find a gentleman who we believe fits a good opportunity to see what this experiment can yield us. You know, and who knows, like I said, again, at the end of this experience, we're going to talk about it on air. We're going to bring our panel in. We're going to bring our gentlemen in. And, of course, Bree's going to already be there, and we're going to chop it up with honesty. Now, what I want all the gentlemen out there to know is this. We're going to talk to you. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to find out. And if you're chosen, we're not going to tell Bree any information other than give her your picture, your phone number, and your vitals. We're not going to talk about all the information that we exchange that's going to make our decision, nor will she be aware of anything that we're saying, other than the information about your vitals and your picture and your phone. And when y'all hook up, y'all going to hook up based upon how you all hook up, how you all interact. And we want to talk about...
Can we not use that word, hook up? I don't really like that word. Thank you.
Hook up. Okay. Not hook up. Connect? Is that...
Yeah, that's
okay,
I like that.
Know.
That's a big good word.
Yeah,
make
know,
a connection.
Connection. Well, we don't know if it's a connection, but that's the whole point. We're going to try to find if we can get one. So, we're going to introduce the two.
Well, this experiment again is also, and Mark has been very, very eloquent with explaining what we're trying to do. But I also want to just make it clear that the reason why we came up with this concept was basically because I was hearing from both men and women, and Stoney, you know, this is your time to chime in, because I know you do your own relationship show, which is Relationship Extra,
mm-hmm.
and you can follow that on Facebook
mm-hmm.
and YouTube.
YouTube, yes,
so,
and YouTube.
Yes, and... the reason why I came up with the concept along with my co-host and some of the guest callers and also my listeners that have been sending me emails is because I'm talking to them. I'm talking to the guys. I'm talking to the women, and they're all complaining about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining about the same thing. And I'm saying, well, what is
the
disconnect? And basically the disconnect.
Crazy. Yeah,
oh, hello.
I'm here.
The disconnect is the lack of communication, the clear communication that is not taking place between men and women. I think we hear what each other are saying, but we're not really listening and responding in the manner in which we should.
Right.
And it's not effective. And
exactly.
what would you close out the show saying about, I mean, the things that, you know, your listeners and the followers of your show are sending emails and calling in mm-hmm. saying to you and Alex?
Well,
especially about
thank
communication.
You. Thank you.
Because that's the
yeah,
biggest problem.
Definitely. Again, thank you, Bree and Mark, for having me on again. But what I wanted to really say about the people that are writing into us, and you're right, they're saying the same thing. And a lot of times, a lot of that comes from communication that's not being done in the beginning to know your mate. I always say, know the person that you are getting involved in the beginning. This is where, first of all, the representative is always in the beginning, the representative. And after a certain amount of time, the representative, you know, dissipates, and then the real person comes out. You have to ask these questions to try to get that real person out so the representative can go away. Everyone wants to be their best, look their best, smell their best, you know. But you still have to ask these questions. You know, how were you back in your other relationships? I mean, some people don't like talking about relationships, but if you are looking for a relationship or if you're looking for someone to spend some time with for quite some time, you need to ask questions because you don't want to get hooked up with someone or get connected with someone that is that's a headache. You know, it's just crazy. So asking the questions that you need to ask to get to the part where you say, okay, this seems like a good person, male or female. You know, a lot of times, a lot of men, I think they don't really listen to the women, especially when they talk about their ex, if they have children and stuff like that, how they are interacting with that father. You could be on the other end. And you have to look, pay attention to the actions of what's going on. Pay attention to the way that other people, that they're communicating with other people. Because if they get angry fast, guess what? You're going to be on the receiving end if you don't watch it, you know. And it's really not that difficult. But people tend to forget to ask all those important questions.
And, you know, I think it's not just the asking of questions, which is vital, because if you don't ask questions, you're not going to know.
Right.
I think after all the questions are asked in the beginning, now it's time to show and prove.
Right.
And that's when on the woman's side is where I'm hearing the frustration, what I'm hearing the frustration about. Then they feel that men are not consistently making themselves present.
Mm-hmm.
That these men have a bunch of distractions, whether it's their job, whether it's, you know, sick parents, whether it's the fact that they're single and they're dating multiple people and they're not being honest about it.
Right, exactly. Mm. We have to keep
you
men
know,
honest. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely right.
So,
absolutely
I mean, because
right.
Here's the thing, where we know the ratio of men to women are 22 to 1.
Yes.
How do you keep the attention of an individual with those odds? You know, I mean, you could be a fabulous,
you
could be beautiful, well-rounded, well-spoken, all that stuff, but I'm sure out of the 20, if you're in the pot with 22 women, half of those women or a third of those women are just as beautiful, talented, well-rounded, mm-hmm. career goal-oriented, you know, decent women such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to do special to keep this man's attention so that he can consistently be present?
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, I can't tell you in the last year how many times I hear a person wants to date and get involved with me, but they don't follow through. The follow through is piss poor. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't accept mediocrity.
Right.
You're going to step up to the plate and you're going to be who you say you are. And if as soon as I start seeing instances, I'm going to call you on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't repair that, it's time to move around.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing you can do. You can only be yourself. And if that person does not fit, not everybody fits in everybody's mold. If that person can't fit in your mold, that person ain't for you. So guess what? Like you said, move it around. Next. Okay, I'm looking for a specific person that can compliment me. I'm already whole. You need to come whole yourself, and then we're going to grow together. But I can't fix nobody, and no one can fix me. I'm going to do what I need to do, and if it's not you and I, that's it. That's okay. I'm going to move around. Keep it going. Keep it moving.
Keep it going. Well, thank mm-hmm. you, Stoney, for closing out the show. Again, you can follow Bree Life Radio at Bree Life Radio on Facebook, on Twitter. You can send your questions, concerns, and comments, and especially for the gentlemen listeners out there that are interested in participating into the project, you can send your request at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. In closing, I want to wish you all a great weekend. Enjoy the spring.
Thank
you. It's on us now. And just peace and blessings. And I love you all on purpose. Good night, all.
Good night. We
good
love
night,
you, Bree. Good night,
Thank
Mark.
You.
Good night, everybody.
Take care. Good night, now.
Yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look.
Sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn and the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the next to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're